March 1st, 1904. A Holy Purpose to Restore Jerusalem. Ellen G. White. Among the children of Israel scattered in heathen lands as a result of the 70 years' captivity, there were Christian patriots, men who were true to principle, men who esteemed the service of God above every earthly advantage, men who would honor God at the loss of all things. These men had to suffer with the guilty, but in the providence of God, their captivity was the means of bringing them to the front. Their example of untarnished integrity shines with heaven's luster. Comparatively few of the Jews in captivity took advantage of the liberal decree of Cyrus providing for their return to their own land. But those who did return began the work of rebuilding the temple and the walls of Jerusalem. This great undertaking was carried forward very slowly. Years passed, and the work was still uncompleted. Then God brought forward a man of opportunity, through whom he worked for the restoration of the city of his chosen people. Nehemiah, a Hebrew exile, occupied a position of influence and honor in the Persian court. As cupbearer of the king, he was familiarly admitted to the royal presence, and by virtue of this intimacy and his own high abilities and tried fidelity, he became the monarch's counselor. Yet in that heathen land, surrounded by royal pomp and splendor, he did not forget the God of his fathers or the people who had been entrusted with the holy oracles. With deepest interest, his heart turned toward Jerusalem, and his hopes and joys were bound up with her prosperity. Days of peculiar trial and affliction had come to the chosen city. Messengers from Judah described to Nehemiah its condition. The second temple had been reared and portions of the city rebuilt, but the work of restoration was imperiled, the temple services were disturbed, and the people were kept in constant alarm by the fact that the walls of the city were in ruins and the gates burned with fire. The capital of Judah was fast becoming a desolate place, and the few inhabitants remaining were daily embittered by the taunts of their idolatrous assailants. Where is your God? The soul of the Hebrew patriot was overwhelmed by these evil tidings. So great was his sorrow that he could not eat or drink. He wept and mourned certain days and fasted. But when the first outburst of grief was over, he turned to the sure helper. I prayed, he said, before the God of heaven. He knew that all this ruin had come because of the transgression of Israel, and in deep humiliation he came before God for pardon of sin and a renewal of the divine favor. He addressed his petitions to the God of heaven, the great and terrible God, for such the Lord had shown himself to be in the fearful judgments brought upon Israel. But with a gleam of hope, Nehemiah continued, that keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and observe his commandments. For repentant and believing Israel, there was still mercy. Faithfully, the man of God made confession of his sins and the sins of his people. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandedest thy servant Moses. And now, by faith taking fast hold of the divine promise, Nehemiah laid down at the footstool of heavenly mercy his petition that God would maintain the cause of his penitent people, restore their strength, and build up their waste places. God had been faithful to his threatenings when his people separated from him. He had scattered them abroad among the nations, according to his word. And Nehemiah found in this very fact an assurance that he would be equally faithful in fulfilling his promises. His people had now returned in penitence and faith to keep his commandments. And God himself had said that if they would do this, even though they were cast out into the uttermost part of the earth, he would gather them thence, and would cause the light of his countenance again to shine upon them. This promise had been given more than 1,000 years before, but through all the centuries it stood unchanged. God's word cannot fail. Nehemiah's faith and courage strengthened as he grasped the promise. His mouth was filled with holy arguments. He pointed to the dishonor that would be cast upon God were his people, now that they had returned to him, to be left in weakness and oppression. Nehemiah had often poured out his soul thus before God in behalf of his people. And as he prayed, a holy purpose had been forming in his mind, that if he could obtain the consent of the king and the necessary aid in procuring implements and material, he would himself undertake the arduous task of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem and seeking to restore the national strength. And now, in closing his prayer, he entreated the Lord to grant him favor in the sight of the king, that this cherished plan might be carried out. Mrs. E. G. White.